Hey, listener, this is Ralph from Beer, Blood, and the Bayou, reminding you that if you love our podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Classmates.com, or wherever you consume our show. We also want to remind you that if you have any questions, comments, or would like to unload on our latest podcast, please call us at 405-806-0476 or write us at listener@beerbloodbayou.com. Thanks.
Beer, Blood, and the Bayou contains adult language, graphic descriptions of delicious hop treats, and real crimes perpetrated in and around the greater Houston metropolitan area. Viewer discretion is advised. Bitches.
Hey, everybody.
How you gentlemen doing?
I am doing very well.
All right. So do we want to talk about where we're at real quick?
Yes.
Go ahead. Brower's here. Say hi, Brower.
Hey, everybody. Brower coming at you.
And then who else do we have here?
We have Maddie. We have Maddie from... Maddie, tell us where you're from.
I'm from the Woodlands, Texas, buddy.
Oh,
you're originally from Tomball.
Yeah. Your address. Yeah. But you're a...
Name bragger. No.
Let's talk about your social media status. Where are you at?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm joking. So how you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. It's a Friday morning.
Yes.
Look at this. We're a typical work day, and we're over here working hard.
I'm working very hard. This is my Friday off.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I'm feeling good.
It's not really like work because we're with friends.
Exactly, yeah.
We've been friends for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the most amazing and sweet thing I've ever heard.
Did you know Ralphie was in a band with me?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to get to.
Right. Okay, now. Here we go.
So Maddie over here, Maddie and I were in a band. Can we say the band? Yeah, we can say it, right?
Of course.
Silver Leaf. It was like a Matchbox 20.
Yeah, that's good.
Sort of. Is that fair?
Down.
Is it
pop rock?
Modern
pot rock.
Can I tell you, I'd like to be a little bit of a moderator here.
Yeah.
And say, I don't know if I'd characterize it as Matt and I were in a band together. And that was very nice of you to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say more like there was this band that Matt and a bunch of other people were in. And for a brief time.
A short 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
Though. Yeah, about 6 months.
Still an important time.
Not only was it an important time, it was a very active time for
you. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was pretty impressive.
It was, you know, and so what was crazy. It was great. I had a great time. We opened for Shinedown. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that.
And there was like thousands of people.
People think I talk shit about that. Like, yeah, sure you did. I'm like,
no,
we didn't have the Facebooks back then.
Exactly. I know.
It didn't exist.
Could you imagine where Silverleaf would be today with the social media activity that we have now?
I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be on a tour bus, like surrounded by some hookers and blow.
So we're out there, and then so we come on, and like, I'm losing my mind because there's like, a few thousand people
out
there.
I was sold
out. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. Where was it at?
Numbers.
The Meridian.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember walking outside and seeing the line go around the building. That was a good day.
Fucking crazy. And then, so I was changing because I had just gotten off work. I'm taking off my fucking collared shirt and I'm completely nude. And the bassist for Shinedown walks. He's like, whoa, sorry about that.
Wait.
I'm your entertainment.
When you change clothes, you go completely in a public place.
Well, like I had to change. So it's a long story.
But, I mean, does it?
He also pulls his pants all the way to his feet when he pees.
I mean, when you do pants first, shirt next.
No, listen.
Shirt first, pants next.
I can't even get a word in. I'd worked out that day. My shit was all smelly.
You were all swollen.
So I wanted to change drawers.
Fresh pair.
Yeah, so I wanted to change my fucking underwear because I've been working out, and this fucking guy walks in. He sees my fucking little dick, and the first thing I say is I'm with the band.
Yeah, he's like
oh, I'm sure you are.
Yeah,
but no, he was super cool about it. He's like, hey man, just let me know when you're done and. I don't know.
Were you in his dressing room or were you in the bathroom?
No, we didn't have a dressing room.
Yeah, I was just in the back.
So we were in their dressing room.
Yeah, we were in the green room.
Yeah.
Because when you're like the opening band, you don't get dick.
Exactly.
No, of course
not. Yeah.
So just for clarification, because I'm really trying to get the image. You go full nude when you change clothes, or you don't do like a piece at a time, like, hey, shirt, shirt. Okay, here we go.
No, pants. I was all.
Because if you told me that you were standing there in your work shirt and your dong was flapping, I would think, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, like, I don't. We can go on and on. I mean, I'm just like, I was trying to hurry, right? I wanted to get my workout in. I put my dress clothes back on. I come. I'm like, fuck. Well, I mean, I came to the venue. I came to the venue. Man. And yeah, that's how it went. So, but hey, it's good. Oh, and so we go out, right? We do our show, and remember, we like practiced like every song like 90 times, and we timed it just to make sure, because I think we had exactly 30 minutes,
right?
And we came out, and like we would start one song as soon as the other one would end, and I remember it happening like so fast, and then we were done. And then just the crowd is like, fuck, this is kind of what it feels like. It was like, dope. It was fucking insane. It was
a good day.
And then we go backstage. And so we're hanging out in the green room. We're having a really good time. And then some fucking pencil dick comes up and he says, I'm sorry, but this green room is for Shinedown. You guys need to get out. Oh, well. And then like our friend, I don't know if I should say his name, but he's over there making out with some fucking random chick and all that. And it was good. It was a good night. So.
Who
should I say it? I don't know. Can
No. We remember the road.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
code of the road, bro.
Yeah, code of the road.
Code of the road.
It was cool. It was a cool experience. I really appreciate it. What I don't appreciate though is getting thrown out of the band a couple months later.
I have a theory on that. Why he actually. Where you were?
No, he was kind of in towards the end. It was like kind of we were going through a bad spell, and then some people, things, they wanted to go in different directions and whatnot. And then
he's not even looking at me.
No, but then, there was like a family issue that I really don't want to get into with somebody. And then it was kind of like, that was kind of,
I'm totally kidding. So. It was a great experience. Totally. However. Fun. Yeah. However, what? What's
however.
Up? Where you're starting something new? You need these magic fingers?
Like I said, my day job, I work for like this group that owns bars and restaurants, right?
Right.
So like we own this place called Woodson's Local Tap and Kitchen.
Great place.
Good place to have local beers, whatever, good stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We own a couple dive bars, Exit 73, which is my favorite, and then Max Sports Bar.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of doing something bigger and better.
Okay.
It's going to be called, I can't bring it out just yet.
Oh, wow.
It will be able to have nice live music in a bigger atmosphere.
Interesting. Ooh. So it's up here in spring.
Yes.
Interesting.
And
this is the Woodlands.
Is this in the Woodlands? Okay, I don't know.
You're going to have the original owner and sound guy of Sidecar Pub is going to set up the stage.
He's still around.
Oh, yeah. He's kicking butt.
Wow.
He does big production shows.
Okay.
Like, with Kojo and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's going to set up our stage to make it like Sidecar sound.
That's pretty cool, man.
And
I've
lived out here for almost 8 years and no one's ever seen me play.
Really?
On this side of town.
And you feel bad. You don't feel right.
So I'm bringing the band back for one
really?
More.
One more.
And this is my official invitation.
What? Oh, no way.
Would you like to be a part of this?
I still have the keyboard.
We're even going to throw another person into this mix.
Who's that?
We're going to bring Steve Gibbs from the original 24
count.
Because I always wanted to see what it sounded like with Steve Gibbs in that band.
Interesting.
He's
going to
be a part of this too.
Wow.
So, Ralphie, would you dust out the old keyboard and get in on some of that?
That Nord lead has been in that case in the garage for 7 years. It is ready to fucking get out.
So, is that a handshake and a yes?
Yeah, I'll do it, man. Okay. Oh, my God. That's exciting.
I know. Just one more throw out. Yeah, I mean, we're older now, just for fun.
Why not, dude? That sounds great.
We have
great.
A lot of friends that want to see it, and we have a lot of new people out here that want to see it. So
one night only.
You can bring all your beer buddies.
That's right. All my beer buddies. Some craft beer.
I thought y'all kicked him out because at the Shinedown concert.
Because of the nudeness?
No, because he was humping his keyboard the entire time.
I did do a lot of humping,
It was really, everyone was like, what is he doing? And we're like, we wanted to cheer.
It's almost as cool as me running out there and tripping and almost falling.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that was great.
That was a good one.
But that was one of the funny things. But anyway, I guess that's not what it was.
Hey, can I ask you Paul, Lord of the Band, right? Does Lob, yeah. So he's the lead singer of Silverleaf. Does he still work at the same place I work?
Yeah.
He does. Yeah, like, I haven't seen him in years. Every now and then
he's still there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, somewhere in that complex.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he got remarried to a lovely lady. She's really awesome. She's a little lawyer, so she keeps it real.
Oh, wow.
Sweetheart.
Keeps him in line, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And lets him play whenever. I mean, he's been doing a couple, like, live shows online and stuff during the COVID thing. It was really good. And He's got the pipes going and all that good stuff. Bruce, however, that's why we're gonna have to wait a little bit. Threw the old back out.
Really?
So I can't play drums for a while.
God, everybody's throwing back, dude. By the way, I don't know about you guys. Z-Train's
doing good out in Huntsville.
Wait, can I
still actually... still strumming along? Because they got that whole Pearl Jam tribute band that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. What's it called again?
Lemon Yellow Sun.
That's right, Lemon and Yellow Sun. Rock. Yeah, they're badass. I remember, Zach is the guitarist. He is fucking amazing, dude.
Dirty Leg himself.
Yeah, Dirty Leg. That's right. God.
he hates it every time I say that, but that's all right.
No, it's good. So speaking of the back thing, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just noticing I'm about to turn fucking 40 this year.
Oh, you got a couple weeks.
Yep, I know.
I got 2 years on you, bud.
Yeah, I know. But listen, so there's all these fucking guys out there and everybody's throwing their backs out left and right.
That's me not going to lie. I've been lucky.
Not me either.
I'm fat as fuck and I should have back problems.
Yeah, but I can't help but notice it's like everyone I check in with, everybody I talk to, everybody is throwing their back out lately. And I don't even know what I kind of know what it means. But these guys, they have to like lay on the ground. They have to be completely extended.
Oh, it sucks, I bet.
Yeah, it's like they can't get up and shit. And
oh God, no, that's not me. I did hurt my back one time to where every time I sneezed, I had to brace myself because I feel like my legs were collapsed.
My problem though that I've seen that I'm getting older, if I sneeze, a little pee comes out.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
That didn't happen to you?
No, I'm not there yet.
I thought that's like women after they've had babies that happens to.
So. But like I try to hold it in.
Yeah. Huh.
Just comes out.
Yeah. No, no. Whatever. No, but I'm at the point where if I got to piss, it's like get the fuck out of my way.
Wow.
I mean, like
it's coming.
Anyway, yeah.
Especially in the morning because I drink so much coffee and water.
You been drinking that Flonase?
Frothy flow. What is that? What's that called? It's like your stream is full and frothy. Like that's what they say on the ad, right? Yeah.
No, no, never me, never me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well cool.
I'm excited to be here because I am a listener.
Yeah. Oh, really? Are you?
I'm one of your listeners.
You're a listener, really?
Yeah. And hey, may I say, I think that
I got it from classmates.
That listenership is what birthed a project of you and our. Yours and mine.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys talk about that?
Texas serial killer.
That's right. We, Maddie and I are soon to be releasing a podcast. We have 4 episodes currently in the hopper waiting to go. Hopefully we'll have time to record. We'll record a 5th one. So we're looking to release October
ish, sometime in October,
like the second week of October. It's really funny, and it's Maddie and I, and we talk about people on death row currently serving in TDCJ, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and we discuss a cereal and we
breakfast cereal. And today, we're going to have Hershey's Kisses cereal.
Oh, so this is why this is here.
Yeah. That's right.
So who brought this in?
That's one of our producers.
Oh, that's Lunder Thunder.
Okay.
That's one of our producers.
Lily. Okay, so Lily brings in a fucking box of cereal, puts it on the middle. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? But apparently it's...
Because today, on our 5th episode, we're having a guest
spot. That's right. We got...
Okay, so you guys already had 4 episodes in the can. Is that right?
Yeah, wow. I'm still mixing them and doing the tweaks.
Okay. Yeah, so today you will be guesting on our episode.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so you'll be episode number 5.
This is what you guys call cross collaboration right here.
That's right. So, as you know, that something I've been talking about for a very long time, growing the listenership of all of our podcasts and trying to really... influence the podcast scene in Houston,
That's right.
With stories of nakedness.
That's right.
The dressing room with Shinedown.
Also,
famous people seeing you nude. No big deal. I'm kind of into this. Let me get in. Let's go.
Yeah. Have you guys, has any other famous people seen you guys nude?
Naked 27-year-old
No, but body. I did have the case of the Rhea when I was about to open up for, what was that band? The Cumbersome Band. What do they sing?
Seven Mary Three?
Seven Mary Three.
For Seven Mary Three.
They had a 1 toilet bathroom that we were using for Mardi Gras in Galveston, and I... had to go, bro. And I was in there for a good 20. And like the bass player came in and goes, "God damn, someone died in here." I was like, "What up?
Someone has become cumbersome in here." Seat
taken. And that's all. I'm like, "Shit." You know, so I wait for a while and I get out and I come out and the whole band's sitting there clapping.
Oh, wow. Man,
that's embarrassing.
That's like being kissed by fame.
Yeah.
That's kind of just
the
little hand.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy? Puddle of Mud, right? Didn't you guys play
that? That was the same show.
That was the same show. And was so how was that guy, the lead singer? Like, was he
complete dick bag?
Was he really? And yeah. I know because he had like a really bad meth problem, and there's like all this, you know, there's all these stories about him and everything. I didn't know how that.
This was probably pre-meth, but he was in his Jackass stage. But they were really hype at the time, and
yeah.
We were, they had a bar just for all the bands that were playing, and how they got signed was they had a CD that they gave to, I think it was like Fred Durst or something back in the day.
Yeah.
And he signed them.
Oh, really?
Whatever. So I was like, fuck, this is our chance, boys. Give me the CD. Yeah, give me the goods.
Yeah.
So I took a shot of Jaeger, walked my way over. I'm like, what's up, dude? It's like, we're opening for you tonight.
Yeah.
We're called Silverleaf, and I would like to give you this demo, bro.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, cool, man. This is really cool, man. It's all black and shit. They're really cool, man. I'll take a listen. I'm like, sweet. And I walk away. I'm all happy. And then I turn around, and this motherfucker looks at it one time, laughs, and throws it over his shoulder behind the bar. So this pissed me and old Rios off. And, man, I was like, fuck it. We're coming out swinging. We came out with, like, I think the Darth Vader theme music that night.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we were really in that the zone of the darkness, man.
Interesting.
Just fucking rocking it and going.
Yeah.
And we were also kind of, at that time, we had like a little camcorder, and we were videoing our future like little DVD release thing that we were doing. And I was like, Bruce, hold the camera. And as we got done, Puddle of Mud was coming on stage. And
more like Puddle of Crud.
Well, he got a puddle all right, because his guitar case was sitting right there, and they had just taken his guitar out. And it was like this beautiful like red velvet in there. And he got a little Silverleaf pee-pee.
Oh,
you pee-pee inside there, buddy. You pissed in his
guitar. All up in there.
You fucking liar.
Swear that to God, it's on camera. Awesome. That's Rios.
What?
Puddle that? Of my fucking mud right there, buddy.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So when they put that guitar back, he got a nice little stink Jesus. From Houston. So.
Dude, that is an amazing story.
That's on video. I did not make the DVD, but we do have the footage.
Wow. Hey, but this is your brother Rod here. He's going to tell you that wasn't a good idea, everybody.
I wonder what the statute of limitations of... So you're telling this story now.
Must have been like 2005.
Okay.
We're fine.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely fine.
Ish.
15 years. I mean, I know that the statute of limitation for... For indecency is 15 years. Don't ask me how I know that, but yeah, you're good, man. You're good, I think so.
Yeah, but
that was also the night we met the coolest band of all time, which was Cowboy Mouth.
Ultimate Party Band.
And they're the nicest group of guys. Same with Shinedown. Shinedown was the nicest group of people.
Oh, yeah.
But Puddle of Mud can suck it.
Fucking dicks. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's that's reality, right? I mean, everybody in real life, I mean, it's like, you never really want to meet your idol because you're never going to be...
Never meet your idol.
And not like that's ever happened to me, you know? Like, I always wanted to meet Trent Reznor.
No, man. I can see that little collab. That would be a good collaboration.
Yeah, man. But,
teach you about beer. You teach you about the synth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll say this, Matty. You've had so many brushes with, like...
Fame.
Yeah, fame in the cusp of, like...
Real fame.
Of like, international, national success.
International.
Like shit right now?
He was in Germany, dude.
No, what I'm saying
is... He was big in Germany.
You're always on that edge, and you've always stayed close to that edge in a way.
Blowing you.
And I'll say that you have that... You have a very, like, I should be famous look. You know, I think.
Oh my God!
Number one,
you're making me hard, bro.
Number one, you're in your early 40s and you have all your hair.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, like that right there, you're a step ahead of most.
That's from being fat, bro.
Most dudes. Well, hey, I got gigantic bald spots, and your beard is amazing, and you have piercing blue eyes.
God, this is so.
They're actually green, bro.
Yeah. So See? This is. Is it's really, really uncomfortable. I mean,
I'm saying he does have a look.
Cue the music.
Yeah, I know. This is
he
great,
does have man. A look that would lend itself to fame.
I mean, you know, yeah. I do what I do. I'm kind of.
Would you agree
deal.
Or disagree?
I would agree. Bingo. Yeah, to just kind of put this.
Hey,
yeah.
Unfortunately, what's up? You guys are not in a position where you feel comfortable that you can say these things and not have anything attached to them.
Okay. I feel okay.
Ralphie is a striking young lad.
Thank
over
you. There you go. See, look at his
brown,
beady eyes.
I tell you what, a buddy of mine from Shinedown told me about this hog.
I remember in Houston this one time as I walked in the bathroom.
God, I wonder if he ever tells that story.
There was a young business lad listening from a workout pump.
At first,
I wonder if he ever tells that story.
I thought it was Mr. Cruz.
Where are those guys now? I wonder.
They still rock.
Are they? I don't know. I don't listen to any of that.
They just had like an album or something maybe about a year ago.
Yeah.
They were up there for a little bit again.
Interesting. But, you know, interesting.
Good for them.
Cool. All right. So, do you guys want to move on to the beer?
Yeah. Now this uncomfortable part's over.
What are you talking about? I thought it was great. It was a good little, good
We're
little
gonna
chat.
Go back out in the corner and then come back and drink some beer.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay. Here, let me get the beer. All right. So, you guys recognize this can?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yep. So Brower, you're holding the can. Do you want to talk about what you see?
Okay. I see a young lady dressed in almost like a military garb, but not really for a woman. She's wearing shorts.
Military.
This is very.
She has a gun on her holster there.
There we go.
Looks like a cowgirl to me. Military.
Can you say gun? Well, I don't know if you could say gun.
I don't know. Look, I mean, she's riding a bomb. So yep. So to be fair, this is Bombshell Blonde. Let's go ahead and say that.
Yep.
This beer in particular is a beer I discovered myself. Like, yeah. At a grocery store looking for something to drink, and I said, oh, Bombshell Blonde, I think I've had this somewhere, let me try it. I hadn't. I took it home and really liked it.
Yeah. So
Southern Star rocks.
I was going through my fridge, and I was going to, there's a couple other beers I was thinking about bringing. It's 8:30 in the morning. So
I figured, good choice.
Yeah, so I figured maybe not the 15 to 17% ABV stouts, maybe not great for the AM.
Yeah.
So what's the lightest thing I got? I always got this in my fridge. It's a super drinkable beer, very light, very crisp. It's a Vienna Lager. It's a blonde ale. Yeah, it's fucking great for all occasions.
Sunshine beer.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I mean, this is kind of one of my... So this beer, Buckle Bunny, a few other ones. These are kind of like always my staples, ones that I always have in the fridge. One is just,
I call them gateway beers.
There we go. Very good. Yeah, exactly. You could give this beer to fucking anybody.
I think,
and if they don't like it, they shouldn't be your friend. I mean, it's pretty much that simple.
2017 Brower would have said this ain't too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
2020 Brower says this is great.
Yeah,
I mean this is good softer. Head, good flow. This good is way. Softer on my palate, and I really smell the notes.
Well, the cool thing about this beer is the company I work for, the restaurants, Woodson's Local Tap and Kitchen. They this has been a mainstay since day one.
Oh, really?
This is the blonde that we always push.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, usually, like when I first opened, like I was trying to teach these girls how to like wait the tables and how to upsell and how to introduce them into craft beer.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of these people that came to these restaurants, they've never had Houston craft beers and stuff. So if they were scared, I'd say, hey, you know, why don't you try this? We'd give them a little taster, and they would always, probably 9 times out of 10 would buy it. And now it's, like I said, it stays. And another beer that y'all turned me on to is a mainstay now, and that'd be old Bearded Fox barrel, that Aunt Rose.
Aunt Rose is.
I heard it on one of y'all's episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So we took the trip down there to Tomball.
Brower loves Bearded Fox.
That's right. Hey, that is my.
But now it's a mainstay. Go-to. Yes. Like, we'll try beers out all the time. We rotate a lot, but if it gets a lot of action, we keep them on there.
Yeah, Aunt Rose is definitely along the lines of a Blondshell Bomb here, you know, which is like a gateway beer, as you say. That was my gateway into their products, and I really started liking so many of their other beers and really can't wait for their seasonal stuff. Incidentally, they're releasing their Foxtoberfest this weekend. So as you hear this, maybe you won't hear this until next week, but it'll be the weekend of the 26th or whatever.
But I use y'all's podcast, though, like to get on these meetings and be like, have you tried this yet?
Hey,
nice. Earwax Factory.
Yeah.
Get it. You know, like, whatever.
Well, hey, what do you know?
Makes me looks cool in front of the bar managers. I'm like, have you had this? Oh, yeah, we've been there. We've already.
Good.
The serial killer's going
to get you
that,
need, man. Listen, if you need me to come out there and talk to these guys, you let me know.
I know. I talk about you all the time, bro.
Listen, man.
Connoisseur.
I only charge $100 consulting fee for me just coming up with your beer menu, so don't, if you need me to do that, I can do that.
Okay, we'll put that in the mix.
Just keep that in mind.
Okay, so do you want to, so Brower's gonna open it. Looks like Brower's all over this. He wants to do this. Usually it's me. He
does the same thing on ours. He likes to open the box.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you guys should check out my unboxing videos on YouTube.
I mean, I just rip right into those bastards.
He's pouring. Okay. Good. All right.
Okay. So,
real quick. So why he's pouring? So ABV 5.25%, IBUs 20. You typically want to serve it around 40 degrees. The hops, Sterling hops, malts, rar, special pale, and some Vienna. So that's basically okay. So let's look at the color real quick. What do you guys
see?
I'll
be honest, it's a little cloudier than I anticipated, but it's good. Yep. It looks good.
It's kind of pee-ish.
It is a little cloudy, so it's not exactly see-through. So
if this was my pee,
looks
I'd probably
like the
go
pee
see
of a homeless man on a winter's day.
Yeah, I'd go see a homeless man. I'd go see a doctor if this was my pee.
Yep. So not completely translucent, but you know, you got a little bit of cloudiness in there, which is normal for this this beer in particular. Let's do a little smell. What do you get?
It smells kind of a sweet beer, but
exactly.
But it's good. It's a lightish smell, certainly.
Get some. I always with this beer, I always get some banana. I get some citrusy notes.
The banana, bro.
I do get some.
But you do get in this.
I do get citrus.
Get a little bit of citrus. Yeah. Citrus. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, it's pineapple.
Champagne-ish.
Here we go. Right,
cheers.
Meep. Fancy little glasses.
Mm. Okay, I'll be honest with you. It's definitely a beer that you can drink at 9:34
yep.
a.m.
Yep. I got a couple more in there if you guys just want to rip into her.
You know, I would, but I got a little
it's so smooth, man.
A little weekend getaway starting tonight.
This afternoon. You do? Where are you going?
It's an explosion on your tongue.
Then, whoa.
We are getting on a flight.
Well, are you getting on a plane?
Right. Yeah, that's right. And we're going to the beach, Galveston Beach.
So, get on a flight.
Yeah, we're going to be flying our Honda Odyssey.
And is even Galveston open right now?
Dude, they're beautiful. Who gives a fuck?
So, you're going to get there. Daddy, why is there a big shark dead on the beach? Because of the
COVID.
Surge.
Yeah, COVID. Wow. Now,
I'm playing doctor with this syringe.
I took my kids down there in May. And it was like the most magical experience of my life. It felt like I was, this was like my first venture out in the world with my kids after that wasteful lockdown that we went through in March and April. And it was amazing. So we have family photos scheduled. So my wife's getting an entire weekend around.
Man, I wish I could be there. I could see his blood pressure.
Yeah, hey, look, don't worry. We found a very nice set of railroad tracks and an old barn to take.
This is very natural.
That's right. I know. I look very.
Look at the baby. Look at the baby. Look at the kids. Look at the baby. Look at the kids.
We don't do those. I don't do those photos.
Grabbing the wife by the cheek.
You're not gonna see me laying down.
Little chin action.
You're not gonna see me with my fist underneath my chin.
Get the jean jacket.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand in there in the clothes I've been standing in all day long after I've been drinking all day long, and I'm going to say cheese, motherfucker.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore, man.
That's very Owen.
Yeah, knowledge. No,
that's right.
That's a very, very dirty word. But we'll take it. So, okay. Well, so I'm glad you guys like.
You
the
are
beer,
kind huh? of photogenic.
I am. Yes. I know I am. I'll be honest. This beer is actually really good.
Yeah.
And this is certainly a beer that I can enjoy several of. Yeah. And you know what? Now
more than a sixer.
I can definitely see myself putting down. You know,
in 1 hour.
This could be. I don't know about that, but this could be. This could be a I could drink this all day sort of beer.
Yeah,
patio, pool, ready to rock.
Whatever situation.
Getting your photos done at the beach on the railroad track.
That's right. I'm gonna stand on a lifeguard stand and take a bunch of pictures like my eyes with my hand above my eyes. You know,
it's gonna be so good.
You guys
man.
Are so funny. All right, so what's next? What's next? We doing? I guess we're doing a murder now, right?
Yeah, let's do a quick little murder story.
Okay. So I brought some heat for you guys today.
I'm listening.
All right, so today's a cold case.
Yeah. All right, interesting.
So this is one that came onto my radar. I don't know. I think it was a few years ago. I can't remember where I was. Somewhere downtown, and somebody asked me if I heard about these. Basically, these three realtors who were executed just broad daylight.
Wait a minute.
In the middle of the day. Does this ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was this during Harvey?
No. This was in 1983.
Oh.
Never mind. So, I retract.
Yeah.
Hurricane Leash.
I was in kindergarten maybe at that time, playing with my belly button. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, right. I was probably 3 years younger than you.
Way diapers.
Right, exactly. I was shitting myself. But no, so this is a case that's kind of haunted Houston, and it's kind of been right below the surface. It doesn't get a lot of airplay. A lot of people don't talk about it, but every now and then hear a little something about it, and it's a little creepy. I mean, if we're being 100% honest. So I got this story from Channel 11, and I'm not going to pretend I wrote this because I did not. Grace White from Channel 11. Did this news report? I'm just literally getting
back in the day.
No. This is a recent. This is recent. Yeah, February of 2020. Okay, so the article is "Who Killed Three Houston Realtors? Execution Style, 1983." So it's one of the biggest unsolved mysteries in Houston, and now cold case investigators are looking at it from a different angle, hoping new forensic testing could help find the killer. So on August 19th, 1983, three realtors were shot inside the Shoemate and Company Realtors office at 1607 Memorial Drive in West Houston. You guys know where this is at?
Oh, yeah.
So like Highway 6.
Memorial City Mall.
Well, no. So this is like Highway 6 and Memorial. There's actually a fucking Starbucks right there. It's not.
On their graves?
Well, no. Shut up.
The blood of them.
No. But no, it's the office isn't there anymore. So you got to think Energy Corridor, Highway 6, Memorial.
Gotcha.
So they were shot inside the office. The victims were identified as Elizabeth Shoemate, 54, Joanne Brown, 46, and Frances Ivy, 60. All right, so for these women, it was more than just a headline. Sarah Ivy Edwards and Helen Ivy Maldonado are Ivy's daughters. They said that she wasn't really worried about real estate. Who would hurt a realtor? But someone took advantage of their charm and killed them all. It's an empty field now, but 37 years ago, so it's an empty field. It wasn't Starbucks, but there's a Starbucks like right across the street. There was a house on the property. Inside was a boutique real estate firm. The murders happened around closing time after most people in the office had left. Another worker returning to the office around 6:30 discovered the crime scene. Could you imagine like walking into a fucking place of business or a house?
I'm about to buy my house.
Yeah. No, but could you imagine though? Could you imagine walking into a fucking house and just three fucking people shot in the back of the head? Could you fucking imagine that? What would you do? Just real quick. Let's just round table real quick.
I'd say, Ashton, am I being punked?
Yeah.
Ashton?
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, you know, Ashton Kutcher actually got in trouble for that. Did you know that? So yeah. He tried to do that on a punk show. Basically, he had some people who pretend to be dead, like shot in a hotel room, and they had like psychological trauma.
That's wrong.
And they fucking sued.
I would.
And that's why punk went off TV.
See, what would I do? Really before or after I rummaged through the purse looking for drugs and money.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Gosh. No, you're looking for ID. I mean, I don't really know, man. Like,
yeah, that's really funny.
I don't know. I think the same lines. Like, oh, is this a joke? What is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably piss myself and then run out of the house. But anyhow, so Brower, you had said this is right around Hurricane Alicia, right?
Yeah.
This was the day after Hurricane Alicia.
Holy shnikes.
There was no power. That was a shitty time, bro. Yeah. Like, there was no air conditioning, no power. It was horrible.
Yeah. It says the streets were still full of glass. Traffic was nuts. So Houston police said the women were all found shot in the back of the head, execution style. Shoemate was tied up. Brown and Ivy were close by, and some of their jewelry was stolen.
What's weird is why were they even open the day after?
That's a good question.
The whole city was blown apart. All the windows of downtown, blown out.
I don't know. Maybe they were going to go check on it or something. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure no one was looking for a house the next day.
So it says the women had time to hide some pieces of jewelry beneath chair cushions and trash cans. So they fucking knew that they were getting held up and it's like some shit was going on. So it wasn't just like an immediate like rounding them up. And so it sounded like, there was a predetermination.
There was a robbery feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Brower's on his iPad. So shortly after the murders, two people came forward saying they saw a man near the real estate office and a composite sketch was released. However, detectives thought all along that there might have been at least two killers. So originally, they thought one of them might have been a woman. Over the years, the case has got national attention. In the 90s, the Oprah Winfrey Show came down, and they did a little special on it.
No shit.
Yeah. And there's the old news report. I mean, you know, I may plug in the audio for the old news report. It's going to be plugged in right here.
It was a shocking case of triple murder. All three of the victims, Elizabeth Shoemate, Fran Ivy, and Joanne Brown, were shot in the back of the head with a pistol. The unsolved case, though it is 10 years old, is now attracting national attention.
They are all unsolved murders, and the detectives on the killer's trail are all obsessed with finding the person or persons who did it.
It has been a frustrating case for Sergeant David Calhoun. He spent hours at the scene on that fateful day, gathering every bit of evidence available. The days that followed brought a composite picture of a possible suspect.
We think that there was probably two bad guys. It's very, very possible that one of them might have been a female.
The victim's family members have their own ideas about the case, and they remain confident that the determined detective will somehow break the case.
It's still something that's at the top of his list. I guess it's kind of a personal case for him just because he has been involved since the beginning.
But Sergeant Calhoun admits he suffered with a sense of failure.
One day you feel guilt. You sit down and you read the report. Did I miss something? Have I overlooked something? The clues will come in. You feel the high. Okay, I'm on a good trail now. If the trail dead ends, it comes to a brick wall. Now you're back down in the low. So it's a roller coaster.
The hope of investigators and family is that the new publicity about the case will somehow lead to the person or persons who took three lives.
Sam Sacedo, 11 News.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So there it was.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All
right. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
But now it's weird. What's weird though, like, you know, is you can't find anybody, whatever, but there hasn't been, like, has there been other ones just like that?
No.
It leads to me like it was some kind of money thing.
Yeah, it's got like a random act of violence or something, right?
And again, that's probably the only place that was really open that day, so they got targeted.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, who performs?
It makes sense, because I know, like, realtors now have, like, all these protocols. Like,
yeah,
they have to call, let them know, like, hey, I'm showing this house at this location at this time. And if they don't call back,
right,
then their place calls them to be like, are you okay?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
You know, probably for that kind of reason.
Though. Yeah.
But, you know, shit, realtors, you would think that's a safe job.
So Patty Piper remembers making the trip to Oprah. She and Joan Brown's daughter, who now lives in Alabama, quote, she was the best mom ever. Everything was always about my sister and I. She worked hard and she loved hard. So in the early 80s, life wasn't always easy. Piper said her mom was in a rocky marriage and was planning to leave. Police poured through the women's lives looking for clues. They even looked at another business run out of the real estate office, an oilfield equipment sales company called Shoemate International, run by Elizabeth's husband. Man. So usually, you know, it's this type of thing, you know, homicides. It's usually somebody who's directly involved or directly related to the victims, 9 times out of 10. Rodriguez said at first investigators looked at robbery as a motive, but never could settle on it because they were always trying to find their suspects. Originally, he said the detectives searched a local pawn shop for items of jewelry that were stolen, but nothing ever turned up. But all these years later, Rodriguez is focusing on a different angle. Quote, what I decided to do is look at it from the testing aspect of it to see what new technology is out there that we can access to test some of the evidence that we still have.
That'd be crazy. 40 years later, boom.
Got I know, him. Yeah. One piece of evidence we found skimming through old newspaper articles was a nylon Venetian blind cord used to tie up Shoemate. KHOU 11 asked investigators if it could be tested for the killer's DNA. Quote, I think there's a possibility. It's just a matter of when technology is going to catch up with what you have. Right now, he's researching that technology, but says that's not the only hurdle. Quote, finding funding for this new technology, this new testing, because our lab doesn't have this cutting edge new stuff.
Somebody's got to have it, though.
I know, man. Exactly.
I mean, I would use it. I'd be like, fuck yeah, that's a good way to prove my shit, right?
Exactly, like, yeah. For Brown's daughter, she hopes one day the truth will come out about what happened to her mom. If you have any information, please call Crime Stoppers, 713-222-TIPS.
I'm telling you, in the next 5 years, this story's going to come up and they're going to find the killer, or he's already been dead or whatever. But
yeah.
Yeah, the way the technology is going nowadays, you can't get
I mean, the thing is now, I mean, they got the DNA, so they can, you know, if they can find DNA, they can plug it into a genealogy website and they can whittle it down and, you know, maybe find some suspects. But, yeah,
wow.
Man. Yeah, man, that head up from iPad. That wow. Is intense, man. So I guess what time is it?
It is 9:53.
No, not like literally what time it is. Like,
oh, it's time. It's time to get busy.
It's evening.
Bro, this is exciting, bro. Like, I've always wanted to be on this podcast because I've listened to all, because I am a listener.
Wow. It's time to get busy.
Oh, yeah. So
I'm really anxious to
this
see.
Is where this is where Brower puts in the money right here.
All right.
I am a little sad, though, that I don't have the Josh James in here.
Yeah. James.
We do miss James, yeah.
But
maybe next time. Maybe he'll come up and.
Well.
Yeah, always be a guest whenever you're ready, buddy.
That's right.
So, we're all fathers in this room, right?
Yeah.
We all have children going to school. My children currently are in, they're doing the online school. Total nightmare. So.
So glad.
Yeah, I do not win any parenting awards this week. My kids got into a fight while on a Zoom call.
How is that possible? Oh, well, with each other.
They got into a fight with each other, that's yeah. Awesome. And they don't sit next to each other. They sit kind of with their, you know, backs kind of cornered to each other. And they got into a fight in front of their teacher on a Zoom call while my wife was upstairs putting her other child.
So they have Zoom detention now or what?
I think we have to beat them on a Zoom call in front of all their friends. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Well, apparently the Zoom stuff, I mean, the online school is not just bad for the students. It's also really bad for teachers. This headline really caught my eye and I really had to, I wanted to share it. KHOU 11 reports a teacher saying, I go to sleep crying. Overwhelmed teachers need additional support while educating amid pandemic.
Hmm.
Wow. This isn't just about the online school. It's about the whole process of teaching during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Sci-Fair ISD Board of Trustees recently heard from veteran pre-K teacher Tracy Manley about the toll this unprecedented school year is taking.
Everything's unprecedented now. You know that?
I know. As we're writing the book.
I know. It was like, but just I'm just so sick of hearing that fucking word. I mean, it's not even that it's overused. It's just more so that it's fucking involves everything that we do today.
Pandemic.
The amount of times people have said it's unprecedented is unprecedented.
It is, exactly.
I go to sleep crying, Manley said during the meeting. I do not sleep through the night.
I'm very manly, huh?
Yeah, many others in multiple districts have shared their concerns as well. I will take a bullet for my students, Manley said, but I cannot protect them from COVID under these situations. Anybody right now is going through something. And licensed educational psychologist and author Terry Lindsay said. Lindsay said teachers may be especially burdened due to remote learning, returning to physical classrooms, or combination of both. Incidentally, at my kids' school, after the first week of online school, they're in school, the actual kids that showed up, like doubled the next day. So, because parents were like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I don't have time for it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's your job.
That's right. So, Lindsay said teachers may be especially burdened due to remote learning, returning to physical classrooms or a combination of both. And if they already had some anxiety, then that anxiety is just greater now, Manley said. Some advice, if you find yourself dealing with anxiety, so tell me what you guys think. Pause, breathe, and meditate. Disengage from technology and social media for periods of time. Exercise and eat healthy. Find a mental health professional. With
these are none of the things I would do.
These are just things that people should be doing anyway.
Can I, one thing that I've noticed since the technology age is really, since I've like had an iPhone, and I'm a guy who I basically have had low level depression my entire life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that having a smartphone and just being able to take my mind off of shit and read stuff just constantly, it's really helped. Like,
The only person in America that would probably be saying this.
And why? But why someone is that?
At a certain intellectual level.
I understand, but I guess what I don't understand is that, you know, people are saying like smartphones and
it's like a form of meditation.
It causes depression. But I guess maybe if I was like comparing my life to like fucking Paris Hilton every day or something,
or if you're reading every negative bullshit that you see on Facebook on everything,
yeah,
it's not just comparing yourself to, you know, to someone super famous. You know, like Paris Hilton, your idol, but
yes,
it's more about like just about the water. What about the people that are just down the street from you that have a nicer barbecue pit than you?
Yeah,
or
give a shit.
I don't know. Yeah, that just doesn't.
I don't care.
Yeah, that doesn't faze me at all. Like I immerse myself in fucking just reading all sorts of articles and educating myself. I mean, I think about like all the things that I've enriched myself with online, including diaper porn and all sorts of things like that. Mm-hmm. Right? You know?
No, like, yeah. I mean that. Video games and masturbation. That's
exactly. I mean,
gets me over the hump.
Yeah, and
I don't know, man. I'm pretty tied up and busy with like life.
Yeah.
Even when I do sit,
it's like a sage, it's a wise man.
Well, anytime I do sit down to like scroll through my phone,
look at that beard.
It's typically purposeful. But do you? What's the longest you've ever gone where you're just watching video after video of whatever they're suggesting?
I don't want to get into that.
I've had some porn sessions that have gone for like an hour and a half. I'm like, all right, now we're working.
I've
got to get real creative nowadays.
I've watched like 2 hours of Dr. Phil clips in the middle of the night.
We're watching a different
line of shit. Well, that's the thing. So like, what happened this morning is like I woke up at 3 a.m. and like just some nights I can only sleep like 3 or 4 hours. And then until like the family wakes up, I am fucking watching anything and everything under the fucking sun.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, I learned how to put a Corvette together this morning. This is great, you know?
It's in there whittling.
I went to bed kind of early last night, and I saw that you had text.
Yeah.
And then I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
And I replied back, no. Because he asked me.
It said, hey, yo, you up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, but I woke up at that point and then watched probably about 10 minutes of so God knows what kind of video. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. But anyway, have you guys watched the social? Was it called the social experiment or social?
Yeah, the social. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I've watched it.
No,
I watched 30 minutes of it, and I was like, okay, I get it. And then like the wife wanted to watch the rest of it, And I'm like, I fucking get it. Okay, I don't need to watch. Like, well, I understand the message. It's like
that dating pod thing.
Yeah. Well, it's the ad-driven need for the way that social media attacks us. And
yeah, they just tailor it. They tailor it to your specific, yeah, like, micro needs or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everyone always says, you could say, oh, my God, I need a new handbag. And the next thing you know, you get a bunch of ads for handbags.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for that. You know, your phone. And also, it whatever you leave in one of your, if you go like to Amazon, you put a bunch of things in your cart, you don't buy it. Guess what you get in advertisements
for? Well, I know. Yeah. You see it over and over.
That's
and over
my again. Job.
I know.
Yeah. And that's
like, hey, look at
Facebook
you.
Pixel, baby. Yeah. That's what that is.
Well, anyway, so that's the people. I think
I'm just glad though it doesn't work with porn though.
Yeah,
can you imagine you're sitting there like doing a presentation, like okay, here on Facebook, chicks with glistening pegging time or some shit. Hey, okay, something bad.
So what else you got, Brower?
Well, so anyway, basically everyone should see mental health counselors. So okay. You know, that's
on the list.
Hey, something that's pretty breaking. Just last night, one shot and two stabbed during a bar fight in the Heights. Your area, your neck of the woods.
Yeah, what bar? Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to that.
We're going to get to that.
One person was shot and two others were stabbed overnight. I love when they say it's overnight and it's Friday morning and they tell you it's Friday and you're like, come on, we know it's Thursday. It's Thursday till 5 o'clock.
Right, morning. Right.
So, but anyway, the condition of the stabbing victim currently is unknown, but the gunshot victim is stable, according to Houston police. Fight broke out between two groups of people at 1:30 a.m. at Main Street Tap and Grill.
Main Street Tap and Grill.
4,000 block of North Main Street.
Main Street? Fight, I don't even know what that is.
The fight was pushed outside the bar where the stabbing and shooting happened, police said. Our crew on the scene captured a man detained in the back of a police car, but it's unclear what was taken. So, yeah, there was that's down the road from you, buddy.
I'm looking at I don't even know this place.
A couple boys got in a tussle.
That's right. Speaking of a couple of boys getting in a tussle, this headline caught my attention, and I don't really like the tag on this because these guys that were robbed on a bike path in Edo says, oh, we're wrong place. Wrong
Edo.
Time. I hate that fucking word, Edo. But go ahead.
Edo.
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 Whatever. Houston. Houston
East downtown.
Yeah.
Look at you. They got some good pictures, huh? Oh, sorry, we're looking at Main Street. No, sorry.
A Houston man said he was ambushed and robbed along with his partner over the weekend in one of the city's bike trails. Shelby Joe and said the attack happened on Sunday around 10:30 in the morning on a bike trail along Buffalo Bayou and Jensen Navigation Boulevard.
First of all, why the fuck are you on a bicycle that day? No, man, that's a bad area, bro.
He suffered minor injuries and now wants to see changes aimed at making the popular trail safer for others. Houston's bike paths and trails have become go-to attraction during the pandemic. Because
they built in the wards.
Yeah. And like so many others, Joe bought a bike to spend more time outdoors.
I asked for it.
In 8 weeks, we've covered 200 miles because it's so easy with electric bike.
It's like bike. Being in L.A. and saying, I'm going to go on a bike ride through Compton.
Yeah.
No, no. Cool. However, on Sunday, he said he was ambushed by a group of guys standing near a bike trail in Edo. As I got up to them, the oldest young man threw a bicycle directly either at me or in front of me, such that I crashed. He said, Joe said his partner stopped but was immediately attacked. He said in less than a minute the suspect had taken their bikes and their belongings.
Oh wow!
What did he have in his fanny pack?
I was just shocked to think that this could happen in broad daylight on a well-signed, well-marked path. Joe said. He said he used his watch to call 911, but the dispatcher had trouble finding his location.
Dick Tracy over here.
That's right.
Why didn't they take the watch?
That's right. He said this. He thinks that the city has neglected the safety of people on the trails. He's now advocating for location markers along the trails.
That's what happens when you try to defund them.
More anyway. Law enforcement bike patrols and improved mapping. If we're going to have hundreds of miles of off-street bike trails, there has to be a better way for emergency responders to locate people, Joe said. The Houston Police Department is investigating the robbery.
Stationary.
Which,
bike.
By the way, guess what? He'll get nothing. Guess what kind of justice he'll get? Zero. Mm. Guess what kind of recourse that this man will see or any sort of punishment for this act of violence against him and his partner? Nothing.
Whoa. Zero. Everybody calm down.
Zero. The city does not give a flying fuck about you, sir.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
They do not.
I'm sorry.
They do not.
You can have every fucking crime committed against you as long as there's not a gun present. They could give a fuck.
Exactly.
They do not care.
They don't.
Care. I'd be making some shit up. I'd be like, he was raping this kid, and he had a knife and a gun.
Incidentally,
and like, whatever.
There's a situation where someone did that. Someone got their laptop stolen by somebody, And then he knew the police wouldn't give a fuck. And they said, no, no, the guy had a gun. Police showed up, killed that guy, didn't have a gun, but got his laptop back. But anyway, I mean, problem was he ended up getting in trouble for that. A man dies.
Every one of them.
Yeah. A man dies from eating bags
being naked in a bathroom at a Shinedown concert.
Eating bags of black licorice. You guys read this story? What? Yeah. No. A Massachusetts construction worker's love of black licorice wound up costing him his life.
Choked. Weird.
No. Eating a bag and a half every day for a few weeks threw his nutrients out of whack and caused the 54-year-old man's heart to stop.
Jesus.
Doctors reported Wednesday, even a small amount of licorice you eat can increase your blood pressure a little bit, said Dr.
Newell. I never knew this.
A cardiologist in Massachusetts.
General what about Hospital? Two bottles of Jaeger? That's kind of licorice. It doesn't matter.
Who described the case in the New England Journal of Medicine? The problem is the glycyrrhizic acid.
Yes, the old glycyrrhizic.
Yeah. Yep,
that did it.
That's what I thought
acid
it was.
Acid found in black licorice and in many other foods and dietary supplements containing licorice.
Something for you to research extract. In the morning.
Yeah.
It can cause dangerously low potassium and imbalances in other minerals called electrolytes.
Yes, the potassium electrolyte balance.
Eating as little as 2 ounces of black licorice a day for 2 weeks could cause a heart rhythm problem, especially for...
Oh, that's one way to fuck somebody, kill.
By the way,
buddy... But you can't get anybody to eat the shit, so it feels like a good
some
flavor.
More black licorice.
Oh, here's some butterscotch. Counting the days. Oh,
here you go.
It's like arsenic, or what is it? Arsenic.
Arsenic, yeah.
And here's the tie-in to good old Ralph here. It's more than licorice sticks. It could be jelly beans, licorice teas, a lot of things over the counter, even some beers.
Beers, really?
Like Belgian beers have this compound now.
Oh, no. I love Belgian beers.
As do some chewing tobaccos.
Interesting.
That's old Brower there.
That's right. And old Dr. Robert Eckel at University of Colorado, cardiologist and former American Heart Association president, he had no role in the Massachusetts man's care, but that was his opinion. The death was clearly an extreme case. The man had switched from red fruit-flavored twist to the black licorice version of the candy
every
a few
time.
Weeks before his death last year. He collapsed while having lunch at a fast food restaurant. Doctors found he had a dangerously low potassium, which led to the heart rhythm and other problems. Emergency responders did CPR, and he had the worst breath, but died the next day.
Wait, was that?
They had to throw that in there?
That wasn't in there.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. I said
he
I was about to say, that was a dick move. In there.
Emergency responders did CPR, and he revived, but died the next day. Sorry. I read that wrong. The FDA permits up to 3.1% of a food's content to have the acid in it, but many candies and other licorice products don't reveal how much of it is contained per ounce. Buttola said doctors have reported the case to the FDA in hope of raising attention to the risk. Wow. That's big.
Wow.
Died from eating candy.
That's too bad. That's not a good story.
No, it's not. It's horrible. So be careful with those Belgian beers.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of things going on in the city. 8 things, actually. This is from Culture Map. From our buddy Eric Sandler.
Oh, Eric, yeah.
Yeah, we
friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Eric Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, openings and reopenings. You know, I don't revel in the failures of others. You know, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the business going to
That sucks.
I just don't want to see that. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know of any breweries that have closed?
No, not yet.
No, that's really great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
I know. Actually. I agree, man. I don't know. There's no.
There might have been some that have slowed where they're going to, where they're.
Well, I know it's been hard. I know being in the restaurant industry that it's been hard to get certain things because like the production is way down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they don't have a need for it, so you're probably not.
Oh, there's a need for it. Like we need it. Like we go through so much stuff, and like some of our mainstays and whatnot, they're in there. Like they just they don't have the time or whatever right now to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's hard for them to make a bunch of beer and nobody get it, and
they're not selling enough of that product.
Yeah, so like you know, it sucks for us, but.
Well, that's not good. Well, this will hopefully be the reckoning and the belt tightening that everyone needed to have happen.
The market correction.
I'll just say that my go-to favorite brewery is on the precipice of some very, very big things. So I won't get into too many details with that. We'll see how things go.
Interesting.
But I'll just say that they are things are actually doing going not fantastic, not great. But they're doing pretty well, considering, and they're going to be doing some...
Well, that just means they got a good community, so...
That's right. So they're going to be really growing themselves out here pretty soon, so it's pretty awesome.
Sweet.
So, anyway, so we'll go over some the local closing, the local reopenings. It's not really closing.
Closings or openings?
Openings. I don't...
Openings and closings.
Nancy's Hustle is reopening for Diamond Service.
I love Nancy's Hustle.
Never been there.
Nancy Cakes, very good.
That's right.
It's like these little corn like pancakes, and they put like roe on top of them. Fucking,
I'm listening.
Really, yeah, good. Really good.
Let's see. Oh well, closings. Bel Air Broiler Burger. You ever been there?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I never really cared about that place. Agoo Ramen Bistro.
No,
no,
don't know that place.
Susie's Cakes.
No,
no, I like cakes.
So that's those are the types of businesses I never thought could make this pandemic. Like those highly niche, like
Susie Cakes.
No, I mean people
she
who
makes only
like,
cakes named Susie.
That's right. I mean, like if you only sold cupcakes, I mean, could you really?
They are still kicking.
Or there's Johnny Cakes?
Right are they really?
There's like five places around me right now.
I know. I went to.
They're killing it.
I went to Nothing Bundt Cakes for like my wife's birthday or something, and holy shit, man, they. There was a wait
you know
to
why?
Get in.
Yeah, because people are fat as fuck right now.
Man,
people love bunkies.
Bro, I put on 30 pounds during this epidemic, bro.
Congratulations.
I know.
But you're down almost.
That was all
right?
DoorDash, bro.
Oh, yeah.
What's your DoorDash go to?
We got two questions here. Go ahead. Sorry, finish.
What's your DoorDash go to? What do you get delivered the most, you think? Or are you all about the variety?
I like the variety.
Okay, second question. When the whole thing was kicking off, the whole pandemic, and you know we didn't know if it was like that outbreak monkey type thing or it's just like the common flu, were you or were you not wiping down your delivery items before as they came in? You were
Fuck
it, let's eat it. Okay,
like I'm old school, man. I drink out of a water hose. I don't know if it freaks people out or whatever. Yeah, like my kids saw that, they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, getting a little drink.
Wait, you did that recently?
Yeah, we're outside playing. I'm like, whatever.
A cold little wow, good for you.
I'll tell you that.
I used to live next to Pasadena.
Yeah,
when I was a kid and I would drink hose water, there were some hoses the water tasted a little bit better. I can remember that.
Yeah.
Different neighbors I'd go.
They had that little. You go smell a water hose,
that's what
your water tastes like.
I'd be fucking tired. Like I'd be like thirsty and walk around my neighborhood when I was a kid and go off to some neighbor's house and just turn on their hose.
Some random person.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I would just do the cut my hand
down. You got to do the 15-second wait because you got all the hot water.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got to cycle
all
that.
All the rodent hair and bug
excrement. See, you drank from a hose. Don't feel bad.
No, I did. I just, it's been a.
Well, yeah, I think, look, growing up in my era or whatever, like, you did shit. You played in the dirt. You played in the air. You played when it flooded. You played in the streets and fucking sewer water and shit like
Sometimes
that.
Sometimes kids got kidnapped and never seen them again.
Yeah,
not as many as you think.
I know.
No, bro. My parents used to have a side gig at Astroworld in the 80s, bro. They would face paint. And I was probably 5 years old.
Wow, that's cool.
My brother was probably 7 or 8. And they would just let us run through the whole park.
Good luck,
the whole
kid.
Day.
Good luck, kid.
Like, here's your $10 each. And we were gone the whole day.
That's fucking
bad. There's no way in hell I would do that with my kids now.
Right.
When I was, Astral, hey, I'll just go have fun. Mom and I are going to go hit the rides.
When I was 7 and 8 years old, I would be able to leave my house and just be gone until, like, forever. Hours and hours and hours. If my kids want to go outside to check the mail, they have to come to me for permission.
Yeah.
And if I'm upstairs, no.
You go. This is also the era we didn't have car seats. I sat in my mom's lap, or I would drive to the store to get beer with my grandpa while he's drinking a beer and smoking a cigar as I'm sitting in his lap. You know, it's like, no fucks back then.
Me and my brother rode in a station wagon from Florida to Louisiana.
On the hood.
No.
On the little rack.
No, just rolling around in the back.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The flat
was the best.
The way back, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, absolutely.
I still do that.
I tell you what, the most mind-bending experience, when they used to be able to open up that seat in the back that faced backwards. Did you ever sit in one of those?
Oh, yeah, catch. Yeah.
Holy moly, that was awesome.
I get car sick with that one, though.
Well, wow.
Flicking people off.
That's right. Or, the best thing was, I used to...
Give the old truck driver arm.
No, when we used to drive all the time, and like because I used to travel a lot when I was a kid, what I would do is I'd wave at people, and then as soon as they wave back, I'd look at them like, what the hell are you waving at? I was a dick man.
Yeah, what a dick, man.
like an old lady riding a passenger seat, like waving, hey, and she's like, waves back, and you're like...
But like my brother and I were just talking about the street we lived on. And like, we kind of knew everybody, but we didn't, you know. But me and my brother, we just be riding around. We go knock at the person's door, like the people across the street, which we found out were swingers and coke addicts.
Nice.
We didn't know that until after.
That's a good neighbor.
Yeah, but we would just walk. As soon as they opened the door, we just walk in their house and eat their food. You know, like whatever. Oh. There was like the old crazy lady that never came out of her house. We just go in there. And then there was the musician that played harpsichord, and he had like the big crazy hair. And then
I want a harpsichord.
That was badass, right?
That's pretty cool.
It sounded like Count Dracula up in that bitch. And then they had the lady that worked at NASA next door, and her husband had never left the bathroom because he had the lung cancer.
What?
You hear him coughing? Yeah, bro, it was creepy.
God, that is a weird neighborhood. I don't have anything
This is like in South Houston.
I grew up in Copperfield, and like it was just like fucking everybody's.
We were by the YMCA, Casa Boone.
Interesting.
God.
All right, Brower, anything else?
You done? That is it.
That's it? God, that was like...
Every time. He always acts like I just did not do enough.
Well, yeah, you only did like two stories.
I did four.
You did four? Okay. Usually there's some bestiality or necrophilia in there somewhere.
I know. I could not find anything where anybody was having sex with an animal. I don't know. Okay.
Is it really about you, Sexton? Cruel.
No, that's a cruel thing. I hate to think that, but it's funny. I mean, like, there are some really horrible, horrific things that can happen in this world, but somehow there's a little bit of comedy in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I mean, look, if you're blowing a goat, I know that's, I guess that's ultimately cruel, but I don't think the goat gives a fuck.
Because they're never going to say anything.
I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, if you got some lady who's like, you know, sucking off her German Shepherd, I mean, PETA can get upset by that, and people can feel that's a very horrible thing. But I mean, like, I don't think the dog gives that big
dog had a tongue like Falcor.
All right, well, it took us to the horrible level.
I can tell you though that those animals, they're definitely indifferent. They don't really care.
I know. All right, everybody. That's Beer, Blood, and the Bite.
I'm going to go ahead and cue the music.
Be on the lookout for Texas Serial Killers, me and Maddie.
Bringing on a special guest today.
Thanks for being here, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.